Welcome everyone to Ascend Live. Welcome, welcome. So glad you could tune in this evening for Ascend Live. We are starting about 15 minutes later than usual. We've been starting for years at the top of the hour, but lately we've noticed a pattern that as soon as we start, we get kicked off the internet. Like everybody in the area seems to log on at once and the internet goes down. So we figured this has happened enough times that it's just time to bump our start time back a few minutes. So thank you so much for being here. Leave a comment, just say hi, or you know, leave an emoji or whatever you want to let me know that you are here, because otherwise I don't know that you're here. If you do want to text me, if you're not a Facebook user, maybe you're just watching this without logging in, you can go to our SMS number. If you go to text me at 501-222-4415, then I will see that, and I will try to keep an eye on those comments as well. In fact, I think I just got one. Yep, just got one. Hey, Shanita, hope you are doing well. All right, our essential question for today is, how can I talk about my experience with things that I don't get to do until I have the job? How can I talk about things in an interview that I need experience with, but I don't have experience yet because I need to get the job in order to get the experience? It feels like a bit of a catch-22, and perhaps you've found yourself caught on the horns of this dilemma and you're wondering, what can I do to gain some sort of experience that I will need in order to interview well if I don't have the job yet? What do I do? So we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to give you a way out of that catch-22, because there is a way out. This is solvable, and you can move up to a new level in educational leadership without experience at that level, even if you're competing against people who are already at that level. Please do not fall into the trap of believing that you need that experience at that level to move to that level, because everybody who is already at that level, like if you're an assistant principal and you're thinking, how can I become a principal if I'm competing with sitting principals who are just making a lateral move? Well, every sitting principal was once not a principal, right? Once did not have that experience. And then when they got the job, they did it without that prior experience. So there is a way, my friend, there is a way. So let's look at a couple possible catch-22 situations here where you need experience at that level, but you can't get that experience until you get the job. Let's say, hey everybody, great to see people commenting here. Antakia, great to see you here. And Janine, welcome, welcome. A couple of examples of things that you just can't do. You just can't gain experience with until you actually get the job. If you're an assistant principal, you can do teacher evaluations. If you're trying to become an assistant principal, you can't do teacher evaluations, not real ones anyway, just for the heck of it to gain experience, right? You have to actually have the job in order to do the work and have the experience doing the work. If you are looking to gain experience with the budget and the principal does the budget in your school, or maybe there's a, you know, a group of people that does that and you're not part of that group, well, what do you do? This is actually the question that got me thinking about this. I saw in a principal's group, you know, someone was saying, hey, I'm an assistant principal. I really want to have experience with the budget. I think that'll be helpful to me in the hiring process, but my principal does the budget and is not really willing to share that. What can I do? Couple other examples. If you are looking to become a dean of students and you think, well, it'd be really great if I had some experience dealing with the truancy court, but in my current position, I don't deal with the truancy court. How can I gain that experience? If I am looking to become an assistant superintendent or a superintendent, it might be helpful to have experience firing principals or dealing with some of the tough HR stuff that you have to deal with as a superintendent, but it's probably going to be impossible to get that kind of experience in advance. So what do you do? What are some options for preparing for interviews when you don't actually have the experience? Because typically in an interview, you are talking about your experience, right? You're not just talking philosophically, right? You're not just saying, well, here's what I would do. Definitely don't make this mistake. Do not talk hypothetically if you don't have the experience. Don't just say, well, I've never done that before and I don't really know anything about it, but I guess what I would do is this. You don't want to talk hypothetically about your experience. You know, if you don't have the experience, you don't want to talk about what you might do or would do in theory, right? We want to avoid that line of reasoning. So let's look at a couple of different things we can do. First, if you do have time to gain the experience, well, absolutely take the time to gain the experience. So like right now, if you are doing an admin internship, leave a comment and say me if you're an intern right now. Strange times to be an intern, but good for you. Go ahead and leave a comment if that is your situation. Make the most of it. Ask for opportunities. Ask to be put in charge of things. Ask to be involved in things. It's going to be extra work, but the person that you're interning with will be grateful for the help. But do recognize that there are going to be some limits on that. You're not going to be invited to help with absolutely everything. Hey, awesome. Internship starting tomorrow, Janine. That is fantastic. So, you know, say yes to as much as you can, ask to be involved in as much as you can. And there are some very good opportunities there if you are doing an internship right now and can take maybe some of that work off of someone else's plate. The next big option is available to pretty much everyone all the time, and that is getting on any kind of committee and doing some sort of teamwork, right? So a lot of the important leadership work in any school now is done by a leadership team, a committee, you know, some sort of task force that's formed to take care of a particular area. And that is a great way to get experience in advance of getting the job, right? If you're on the budget committee, well, you don't have to be the actual principal to gain some experience working with the budget. Now, if there is no budget committee, then that's a different story. So you definitely want to see what committees are available and look at which of those committees that are available and that you could serve on would give you experience in something that would qualify you for that next level job that you're looking for or that you might be looking for in the coming months. So people often wonder, does any kind of team or committee experience count? If I'm doing something, but I'm doing it as part of a team, can I really use that in my application and in interviews? And the answer is absolutely yes. You want to give yourself a clear, accurate credit for your role in that, but you don't want to position yourself so passively that it basically makes no difference at all, right? See, what I see a lot of people doing when it comes to committees is they'll say, participated in the advisory committee that, or, you know, was invited to serve on the committee, blah, blah, blah. And they position themselves as like the very passive recipient of a slight honor of being selected for a committee to advise on the blah, blah, blah. And it's so far removed from action that it just doesn't add to the resume, right? It doesn't make a compelling story. So what you want to do is you want to think as directly as possible, what did I do? What did I do? Did we pick a new curriculum? Did we hire somebody? You know, what was the thing that we did? Find as direct a verb as possible. Don't do any of this like, I was selected, blah, blah, blah. You know, something that was done to you, a crown that was placed upon your head, right? No, we want something that you have done as part of that committee. And you want to describe your role as honestly as possible. Take appropriate credit. You're not gonna say, well, there was no team, it was all me, it was a one-man show. You know, don't leave out the rest of the team if that's not appropriate, but give yourself enough credit. And just, again, recognize that that's not gonna get you every kind of experience. Now, here's the big thing. Here's the big takeaway for today. In order to get that next level job where, you know, you feel like there's that catch-22 of experience where you have to get the job to gain the experience, but you have to have the experience to get the job. Here's the thing, you don't have to have the experience. What you have to have is the ability to talk about it. You have to be conversant. In an interview, you do not need to actually have experience with everything, but you do need to be able to speak intelligently about it. Anything that's going to be relevant to the job, you should be able to speak about. And we're calling that becoming conversant. That, my friend, should be your goal. With anything that you anticipate being asked in an interview, you want to make sure that you are conversant in it. And conversant is a fairly simple concept, right? We just want to make sure that we are able to speak to it, right? You want to be familiar with it, you want to be knowledgeable about it, and you want to be able to speak at some length about it, rather than be in this position where you say, oh, yeah, I think I've heard of that. You know, so if you're asked a question about, you know, using data to drive improvement or something like that, you don't want to say, oh yeah, I heard that's a good idea. That's not conversant, right? You don't want to just be able to say, yes, I agree that that's good, right? You want to be able to elaborate. You want to be able to say, you know, what this is all about, what you've done, what you believe. And specifically, you want to make sure that you can speak for 5 solid minutes on any topic that you anticipate might be asked for the job. And of course, that's going to depend on what job you're applying for. If you're applying for a curriculum director position, that's going to be very different from an AP or a principal position. So think about what type of job you're applying for and what you expect them to ask. One of my clients several years ago was applying for a director of accountability job. And of course, for that job, she had to know standardized testing and all the accountability laws and all the different school improvement measures and policies and funding sources and all of that. She had to know that inside and out because that was the job. You would not have needed that level of knowledge and would not have needed to be so conversant with all of those funding sources and accountability regulations for, say, an AP job, right? So it just depends on the job that you are going for. But you want to be able to speak for 5 solid minutes. Now, here is how you know if you can speak for 5 solid minutes on something. Try it on video. See, a lot of people get into the interview prep season and they think that the way to prep for interviews is to just think in your head. Okay, what am I going to say on this? Okay, da, 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 da. You kind of think through the talking points in your head, but they don't actually say it out loud. And as a result, they have no idea how much material they actually have, right? And a stand-up comedian has to have what they call, before you can do like a gig as a stand-up comedian, I'm not a comedian by any means, so I've read about this, I have not tried this, and I assume it's extremely hard, but comedians can't really do a show until they have a tight 5, right? Until you have 5 minutes of material that you can use, to get up on stage, tell some jokes, and it doesn't feel like it was just too ridiculously short. You've got to be able to have a tight 5 for any question that you might be asked. And there are a lot of potential questions you should be asked, so this takes a lot of practice. Please do this out loud. Please do this on video, because that's the only way you're going to know if you have enough to say to be conversant, if you can pass that 5-minute test. And yeah, absolutely there. Great comment here from Antakia. Serving as district curriculum writer and district professional developer helped me get my current job as academic dean. Those gave me lots of stories to talk about. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. That's what being conversant is all about, is just being able to talk intelligently about it and showing that you have maybe not the exact experience, but you know what you're talking about. And that knowledge doesn't have to be, again, from direct experience. It can be from books. It can be from other learning that you've done. You just need to be able to talk about it. And what the interview team needs to hear from you is that you understand that this is part of the job, right? You're not caught off guard. You've thought through this before. You knew this was coming. You expected this question about that particular thing. You have a solid framework for thinking about it. You're up to speed on best practice. You're aware of some of the central tensions of dealing with that topic. And you're able to just say interesting things for 5 minutes. Now, a couple of tips for structuring your answers. First of all, that idea of having a solid framework for thinking about it. You can give people great confidence that you have a solid framework for thinking about something if you can give them 3 points, right? Anything that you can put into 3 points is going to sound much more solid, much more thought out than something that's just kind of, not organized into 3 points. I don't know what it is about our brains that we just find it very satisfying for something to have a beginning, middle, and an end, or 3 points of some other type. For example, if you are asked about the importance of relationships, you might speak to the importance of relationships with staff, students, and the community, right? Often there's a 3-part answer there, or teachers, parents, and students, or whatever the rule of 3 is what I call that. So you want to make sure that you're able to give kind of a framework that shows that you understand the issue, you've thought through it. The central tensions idea is one that shows that you have a nuanced enough understanding that there aren't just simplistic answers about a particular topic, right? Like if you're asked about, progress monitoring, how do you monitor student progress, make sure students are on track academically throughout the year? You don't just want to say, yeah, yep, progress monitoring is good, right? That's a simplistic, idealistic kind of answer where you're not really giving any meat in your answer. It's a dead giveaway that you're inexperienced. So you want to be able to speak to some of the tensions. For example, one of the tensions you might speak, I'm just making this up as I go, but one of the tensions you might speak to with regard to progress monitoring is, I think, so I'm going to go into answering mode here. I think it's absolutely essential that we know where our students are throughout the year, that we be able to set goals and monitor students' progress toward those goals, celebrate when we've achieved them, and intervene when students are not on track. But one of the big challenges with using progress monitoring data is that sometimes we collect the data, but then we don't do anything with it. So I think we've got to have a good blend of data collection, but also action in response to data, right? So there, I'm giving kind of two sides of the coin there. Those things might not be directly in conflict, but I'm trying to introduce like some knowledge that I have of the structure of this thing, right? And I'm not just gonna say, oh yes, progress monitoring data is great, full stop, that's my whole answer, because that's not very interesting. I want to illuminate the audience on my understanding of whatever that particular topic is. A couple examples of different tensions that you might think to raise with regard to a particular topic. You might think in terms of both academics and kind of a whole child approach. This is a big one this year because we're very concerned with students' academic progress or lack thereof and with their social and emotional well-being, right? And we know students have had a difficult time adjusting, getting back to in-person learning. So two sides of the same coin, we need to be able to speak to both of those for any given question. Standardization and personalization, accountability and growth, consistency and flexibility. That's often a big one for discipline, right? Like we want to have an orderly school, we want to have predictability, we want to make sure that we're having consistent consequences. But on the other hand, we also want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the individual human beings who are our students. And we don't want to be so inflexible and so consistent that we don't recognize the individual circumstance. So those tensions are always there. Look for those tensions because they'll make your answers a lot more interesting. Task and relationship is a big one, especially when it comes to things like teacher professional development, holding teachers accountable for the things that they're expected to do and turn in. You know, and this is a super, super tough time for teachers. So we've got to be able to manage that tension of both, you know, empathy for teachers, but also, you know, getting the work done, the task and the relationship. Tradition and change is another big one. So, you know, recognizing the importance of honoring community traditions, but not seeing them as frozen forever. If there are some things that we've been doing as a school that we need to maybe rethink, you know, being able to talk through those tensions shows that you have a mature understanding of an issue. The best book that I can recommend on understanding tensions is my friend Jane Kesey's book, Unleashing the Positive Power of Differences, Polarity Thinking in Our Schools. And you can find that on Principal Center Radio. Definitely worth picking up the book, but at least check out the podcast, principalcenter.com, and you can see the link there. Jane has a great framework for understanding polarities, where there's kind of two sides to the same coin or a healthy tension between two things that are both good and necessary. So definitely check that out. And more broadly, we've got to be able to commit to this work of becoming conversant with whatever it is that the job demands. And sometimes you have to do that very, very quickly. Let me know if you've ever been in this situation where you've been applying for one type of job, you think this is the kind of job for me, and then some other type of position opens up that you've never thought, oh, that's what I want, but you read the job description and you think, you know what? This wasn't really what I was going for, but this actually sounds really good. I could definitely be a whatever. And you look at the posting, you say, okay, I've got to kind of get my mind around this, but I think I could go for this position. Well, what you've got to do very quickly then is figure out how to be conversant in the issues relevant to that role. Like if you're suddenly applying for a central office curriculum director role that you had never, you know, maybe you're going to be the science curriculum director for the district. You didn't see that coming, but it, you know, it worked out. Then you've got to become very conversant very quickly in whatever the issues are for that position. So how do you do that? Well, no big surprises here. Read books, right? I mean, it's amazing to me how many educators read zero books in a year. And certainly I know there are times of year when you're probably not sitting around with a bunch of free time to pick up a book. But there are times when, you know, school is out for the summer or school is out for a break. That is a great time to pick up a book. You've got a commute. You can listen to podcasts. Maybe you have a short commute, or maybe you just need to walk your dog after school or whatever, listen to a podcast. So definitely, definitely, yeah, very cool about the curriculum director position. Yeah, those often come up unexpectedly, you know, to people who are thinking they had one career path about to happen, and then it goes a different way, and it works out great. I actually have several people who are seeking principal or assistant principal positions and are currently in curriculum director positions right now. Really interesting. But, you know, those people are extremely knowledgeable about curriculum and instruction, and that makes for great principals. So listening to podcasts, absolutely, there are great podcasts out there. Every episode of Principal Center Radio focuses on a book. So we've got well over 300 episodes right now, and we're actually publishing several a week because we have so many ready to go. So every week we will keep you busy with podcasts that you can listen to when you're not at your computer, when you're not at work, when you're cleaning up your house or driving around or whatever. Listen to podcasts, get familiar with those big ideas. And really, honestly, this is not that hard. after listening to a podcast, you are going to be much more conversant with a topic than you were before. Maybe you're looking to decrease disproportionality in discipline. Well, right off the bat, you might not have any big ideas on that. You might agree, oh yeah, decreasing disproportionality in discipline is important, but what do I say about that? I'm not sure I can say 5 minutes worth of intelligent stuff on that. Well, listen to a podcast on that very topic. And I don't have one off the top of my head, but look for those books. Find out what podcasts those authors have been on and go listen to the book. Listen to the audiobook. Do whatever you need to make yourself knowledgeable enough that you can speak for 5 minutes on that topic. The Marshall Memo is another great way to stay up to date with research. Kim Marshall has published over 900 issues of his Marshall Memo. He sends out like a big Word document every week where he summarizes about half a dozen to a dozen different articles. And that is such a good summary of the research. I actually buy it for all of our Principal Center members. So if you are a member, look for that every Wednesday. You get that Marshall Memo in your inbox every Wednesday. And I really believe in staying up to date that way. So Marshall Memo, really good stuff. You may not have time to read professional journals. I've always liked subscribing to one or two, like Learning Forward has the Learning Professional, ASCD, and other organizations have their own magazines. Those are great to read, but Marshall Memo summarizes them as well. Conferences, if you can go to conferences, I just saw ASCD is going to be in Chicago next year, so always great to stay up to speed that way. But at least listen to podcasts, read some books. And what should you read those books on? Well, You got to think about the job that you're applying for, and you got to think, what do I need to be conversant in? Now, if you're applying for principal or assistant principal positions, I've covered just about everything that is going to be asked in the 52 practice interview questions. So if you don't have the 52 practice interview questions, or if you like printed them a while back, but now you don't know where they are, this is the perfect time of year to print them out again and start practicing on video, right? You can jot down some bullet point answers, then fire up your phone, record yourself and say, okay, I need to make sure that I can talk for 5 minutes about this issue. And if I can, I will know that I am conversant, that I am ready to go. I've given a good answer. I've given those three parts. I can speak intelligently, even if this particular responsibility is not part of my current job duties, right? If you can speak intelligently about improving student attendance, even if that has nothing to do with your current job, well, you're going to do great in an interview where being able to do great things for student attendance is relevant to the job. You don't have to already have the experience. So get those interview questions, practice. Let me tell you, I keep an eye on what our members are using. And I've noticed that several of our members in the past week started working on their cover letters, right? And we have a beautiful cover letter generator inside the Repertoire app. We just finished the technology for that this summer, and we did an earlier version that was a spreadsheet, but we basically have a cover letter builder. And I'm telling you, our members are starting now, not because they're applying for jobs this week, but because they know hiring season is going to be upon us before you know it. A lot of people will not start preparing until February or March when they see the positions posted, and they'll say, oh, there's a position. I guess I better put together my resume. Please do not do that. Please do not wait until the job is posted to begin preparing. The time to begin preparing is now. And today, this Sunday night, at least print the questions. You don't have to answer them all today, of course, but give yourself some runway for this. Set yourself up for success, because this is going to be hundreds of hours of work between now and when you get the offer. And I want you to be already going before your competition is. I want you to have a long training season for this hiring season. So get those interview questions going and start practicing. And I wanted to ask, I've got some very exciting things cooking on the back burner that we're going to be sharing in November. Would you be interested? Leave a comment. Just say yes if you would be interested in this. Would you be interested in some help with practicing? Now, this has been difficult for us to kind of figure out how to do, you know, like, how are we going to do video practice? How are we going to get people feedback? How are we going to let people see each other's answers and make their own answers better and revise and practice and improve? But it's all starting to come together. I've gotten my hands on some very exciting technology, and I'm going to be sharing that with you in the coming months. If you would be interested, please let me know. Janine is interested. Thank you so much for that, Janine. We are going to, I don't have anything to do on that today other than, hey, print those interview questions and stay tuned, because we are going to do some exciting things for those for practicing those 5-minute answers. This is going to be totally different than anything else we've ever done before. And very excited to, there's everybody. Well, hello. Great to see Tamika here and Brooke is here. Awesome, awesome. Lots and lots of people have been quiet. Denise is here and Antakia, awesome. All right, so print the questions. If you've lost them, if you've got them lying around somewhere, find them and start jotting down those answers. There are a lot of them. There are 52 questions, but if you do the work, if you prepare to speak to any of those issues, you know, just whatever are relevant to the jobs you're applying for, you're going to knock their socks off in an interview. And most importantly, you're going to be much more prepared than your competition, because this is competitive, right? You are not just trying to, to just do your best and go home. You are trying to compete against other people. And I want you to be as well equipped for that as possible. So again, listen to podcasts, listen to Principal Center Radio. Again, I really recommend Jane Kesey's book, Unleashing the Positive Power of Differences. We've got that one on the podcast and over 300 more. So check them out and have a wonderful week. I'm Justin Bader, and this is Ascend Live, and I will catch you next time. Take care.